WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We were positively into the bye week, and I think we all would have agreed, you know, 5-2 when the schedule came out in April, and we're drafting the speedy wide receiver, and we're feeling good about the Penn State rush edge, and, you know, feeling good about all the offseason signings. We're going to get Ronnie Stanley back and things. Dennis Colatzis joins us now from Coons Ford Security Boulevard. And, you know, this is our bye week get together. You know, I wish we could feel better about what we saw on Sunday, but that was certainly a thud for the Lamar era and a thud going into bye week. And, you know, I'm wearing red for Coons Ford today, maybe the red flag for what's ahead in the last 6-7 weeks of the season. There's no more Detroit on the schedule for them.
Yeah, no question about it, Ness. And I wasn't as excited a week ago over the victory over the Chargers. I recognized before John Harbaugh said it's a week-to-week league. And what you did last week has no bearing on what you're going to do this week. So for me, it wasn't a surprise. And at 5-2, all is not lost. Clearly, they have holes on the defense, the offensive line, penalties they have to clean up. But they certainly got outclassed by what seemed to be a younger, stronger, faster team in the form of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals historically, we go back to Carson Palmer, we go back to Andy Dalton and Marvin and the players they've had and the Chad Ochocincos and the Tyler Boyds and the guys that have beaten the Ravens. I find it interesting. When I saw some previews last week about Cincinnati, they called it Ravens Week. So in Cincinnati, they have a thing there that they call Ravens Week that we probably call Pittsburgh Week here, right? So it's interesting over in the modern era over the last 20 years, whatever Marvin's left behind and Carson Palmer and all of those victories in the jungle and Monday Night Footballs and those end of the season disappointments for the Ravens. I don't know why we don't take the Bengals more seriously, but, you know, Bruce Coslett's not there anymore.
He's not. And I worry about the defensive coordinator, all the talent they have on defense. And to me, never mind all the Star Wars statistics that Joe Burrows and his wide receivers put up. The biggest difference for me was that defense, they were able to contain the Ravens. And I thought the game was over when Lamar Jackson went around left end, got the ball down to their 26-yard line. I believe we were down 27-17 at that point. And they called it back with a holding call on the Villanueva. I thought that was game, set, and match at that point. The momentum wasn't there. It shifted. And you got to take them seriously. They're a rising team. They're not a falling team, Ness. And I anticipate the next time they play the Bengals, you'll see the defense come out and play more zone coverage than blitz the heck out of him and leave the corners matched up one-on-one of those mercurial wide receivers.
I think there's something in the aftermath where we were kind of shocked by the Bengals. And I don't know that John Harbaugh was or Lamar Jackson or Wink Martindale or the people that do this professionally, you know, because they had 6 games of tape on the Cincinnati Bengals and who they are right now. Certainly that kid at wide receiver that nobody's been able to stop, right? I think Chase is a great name because you're usually chasing him when you're looking at the back of his jersey. And I would just say from a fan standpoint, I'm on alert all of a sudden about it. I mean, I watched Joe Burrow do what he did a couple of years ago. I watched him get taken first, but I also watched the Bengals be the Bengals and, you know, push Marvin aside and then bring the new guys in. It didn't go well early on. He got injured last year. It didn't feel like they drafted well around him on the offensive line. I didn't like our line play on either side of the ball. Our linebackers haven't been good for a long period of time. Marlon Humphrey, jury's still out. I mean, I'm not questioning how good they are. I'm questioning how good we are when we've played long stretches of the season behind. I watched the Colts play in the rain and get a pretty gutty victory out on the West Coast on Sunday night. And I thought, they kind of came in here and ran us around for 3 quarters. You know, I mean, the fact that you're 5-1, you feel good about that. The Chargers thing was, you know, you package that game and you feel so good about yourself after that, that apparently they felt too good about themselves.
Well, they did, but it happens. It's again, they can play 10 games and maybe the Ravens win 7 of them at this point because they're better coached. I don't know, but the Bengals, by the virtue of them being so poor and drafting so high every year, those number one draft picks, Nestor, they start to pay dividends. We saw that with the Jacksonville Jaguars in that infamous game across the pond many years ago when all those number one draft picks and the veteran Calais Campbell just put the smackdown on the Ravens. And you know what? My opinion is the Ravens and the Bengals are still top 10 teams. They're at least at the upper third in the NFL in terms of power rankings, if you would. All is not lost. The bye week comes at a very good time. They get a chance to get healthier and put the thing together. And hopefully Pat McCary comes back, and maybe we see Nick Boyle after the break.
You know, we talked about Stanley last week and the offensive line and where they are. What would you, from a grade standpoint, from an offensive line, for what they want to do, which is run the football, right? If they can run the football, everything else takes care of itself when they're in second and two. They have not been able to do that. This is different. There's no cavalry coming. You know, Orlando Brown's not coming over the hill at right tackle. Marshall Yanda's not coming back. Ronnie Stanley's not coming back. As constructed, as you see this moving forward, seeing Cleveland twice, Pittsburgh twice, Cincinnati again, we're going to see the Rams, going to see the Packers, we're going to see some real teams here after we get through this Vikings, Miami, Chicago. And that's certainly a ramp up. But I look at the potential for the team to say, what is the potential for them on their best day? We saw that against the Chargers last week. I keep calling San Diego. I'll probably be doing that the rest of my life. But for what they are at this point, on their best day, they're a B plus. I mean, I'm being kind. I mean, based on what the offseason was, if you would have told John Harbaugh April 1st, this is going to be the team you're going to go fight with on November 1st, I would think he would look at this and say, whoa, what happened to half our team?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those are fair statements. But again, I caution everyone, it's still a week-to-week league. We saw the Tennessee Titans get off to a very poor start, and in successive weeks, they've taken down the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. So the team does have a lot of holes in the nest. They've got to get the offensive line going, or that goes hand-in-hand, we all know, with the running game. They've got to be able to open up holes and give Lamar time to throw. Lamar was under duress, and he can't be Superman every game. It's too much. It's a 53-man game. You can only play 11 at a time on the field. It's too much expectations, too high expectations on him. You look at the positive. You know, Rashad Bateman had a great game, 3 catches, 80 yards. But we didn't see Jason Owe, did we? We didn't call his name. And it's a
well, we call Marlon Humphrey's name far too much, right? I mean, he's supposed to be the best reasons. Player on the team. He's been getting dragged around a lot here this year, and I think there's a little thing going around that you know, he won't tackle you. You know, keep moving your legs. He'll spin off of you, and boy, he has to work on that. Man, that's a first round. He wants to be a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to be. He's already paid, right? You know what I mean? He's already got all the confidence and all the swag and all of that, right? Now you got to go out and play in week 7, week 8, week 9. And getting dragged around for the month of October, probably not a good look for him.
But Marlon is a very good tackler. In fact, you know, at Alabama and until this year for the Ravens, he's been a very short tackler, one of the best tacklers on the team. I think the problem with him is he tries to punch the ball out almost every time. So when you do that and miss, you get dragged around for 5, 10, 15, 20 yards on the field, and it's a really bad look. Even on a one pass, he got beat chasing in the end zone. He stole through that punch last second, try to knock it out. But that's his game. But for the most part, maybe they need to talk to him about, listen, less punch out and more tackle. Keep the guy in front of you. That way he doesn't break away from you for 82 yards. I think that's the message. And the tackling, though, has been an issue for this team since day one this season. That's, and for us that have watched the Hall of Fame players on the defense and top one, top five defenses in our lifetime, this is really a strange environment, right? A strange sight to see at M&T Bank Stadium.
Dennis Colatsos is here. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home. I will be joining him. Luke will be joining him. It's a bye week around here. Plenty of Halloween things going on. Our friends at Wise Markets threw all those ideas out this week. I'm soothing myself with ice cream right now, thinking it might make my back feel better. I got the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're doing that all over town. I got some make goods that we're doing here. And then you're out selling cars. Again, give me a little like automobile thing. I saw a thing over the weekend about dealers saying they just didn't have cars on their lot. So I want to bring a little car conversation here to bye week, because a lot of people, weather's changing right now. People are thinking, well, you know, had a car 3-4 years, trade in, where's all of that? Give me a little primer if I walk over on Security Boulevard right now.
Yeah, if you have a car that you're driving, it's worth more money now than it's ever been worth. It's just like a house. It's the same thing as a housing industry. There is a shortage of vehicles out there, just like there's a shortage of homes. So your vehicle right now is worth more than ever. On the flip side, that we just don't have a ton of inventory. Where I typically carry maybe 1,000 new vehicles, now I have 100. But I still have 300 used vehicles on the lot. And so we're one of the biggest dealers on the East Coast, one of the biggest dealers in the nation. And people are amazed and shocked when they come to Baltimore Ford and see our selection. But most dealers in have a handful, and I'm talking a handful, four or five new vehicles in inventory right now. And they're going for a premium. It's just a scarcity index. And that's what's causing the prices to go up.
So if you come to get a car now, you'll get a car. You just might not get the exact color you want or the exact Correct. This or that. That's really where the shortage is, right? If I wanted blue, I might have to buy it in red.
It's just like crab cakes these days, or chicken. Everything is up. You know, I don't know many commodities that aren't up these days in terms of price. No matter what it is, it's way up there. And if you want it, you just have to pay what the current market value is. It's as simple as that.
I saw the restaurant thing going around about just how much like frying oil is. You know what I mean? There's just
everything
stuff that napkins, you know, like toilet paper, ketchup, you know, whatever it is. Dennis is here. We'll talk. I'm trying to inflate my feelings about the Ravens here in a second half. Your optimism, you know, for them, I well founded at 5-1. I am concerned about the linebackers. I am concerned about them getting passed on. I am concerned about the tackling. I mean, I'm concerned in general about the defense when they're going to see Kansas City, Buffalo, those teams in back-to-back-to-back ways, what the Packers might be able to do to them. The Rams got very creative. At the end of the year, they're going to see better punches than what the Lions could give them or what the Vikings are going to be able to give them 2 weeks from now. So the concerns I have are tackling linebackers, but more than that, sophisticated offenses, veteran quarterbacks, whether it's Roethlisberger, I would consider Baker Mayfield that guy now, Aaron Rodgers, certainly what Stafford does with the Rams. They're going to see really good offensive punches at the end of this season to figure out where they are. Between now and then, Minnesota, Miami, Chicago, how do they patch that up? Because the defense has felt leaky all along the season, to your point, tackling all of that. This has not been a banner defense.
Oh, it hasn't. But again, they have 11 more games to get this thing, 10 more games to get this thing turned around now. And it's a league of attrition. It's a game of attrition. We saw the Denver Broncos go down to Cleveland and take on Case Keenum and went came within a field goal of beating them. So anything can happen. At this point, they have to right the ship now. And do they lose 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, the entire season? They just have to scratch and claw and figure out a way how to stay on top of the division, stay competitive, and scratch and claw their way into the playoffs. And once you get into that second season, anything can happen. But they certainly have to figure out the offensive line, the running game, tackling, the whole nine yards.
Well, and the running game really is Lamar. I mean, you know, I don't know. You wanted Le'Veon Bell, you got him. They wanted Devontae, we got him. You want Latavius, you find out why these guys aren't running in Pittsburgh or New York or New Orleans or Oakland or wherever anymore. Not Oakland, Las Vegas. But you bring these guys in and you find things they can do. The offensive line, though, for me, Lamar on Sunday tried to do too much. And I don't ever say try to do too much and all that, but taking on too many hits that aren't worth, you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze, quite frankly, and not as many options outside of Mark Andrews that we can feel good about right now. Getting Nick Boyle back would mean everything.
After the Colts win, that miraculous victory, comeback victory, Nestor, I tweeted out that the Ravens just spent 8 of their 10 draft picks in the 2022 draft on defensive players, and I stand by that more so today than ever. Maybe take a tackle or a guard with your first, second, or third pick, but all the other picks, I would definitely get linemen, linebackers, defensive backs, safeties, the whole nine yards. They've got to get better on defense.
Dennis Colatos is here. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. You'll hear him again on Sunday, not before the Ravens game, but before we get together and red zone out on a Sunday. My wife and I did not go to the game on Sunday for the first time, you know, where we really had tickets. We watched the game. We watched it on TV. I guess I could have gone. I'm taking care of my back and trying to, you know, I do all the make goods I need to do from the last couple of weeks and get. So we didn't go. It was a different kind of vibe on a weekend to get things done around the house, making food, eating food, laying around with the cat, tweeting on TV, seeing how long the TV commercial breaks are that you may not really realize when you're in the stadium and there's other things to occupy you and Maryland lottery football tosses and all that. I don't know, Dan. Watching games on TV, not something I'm used to, but something I did over the weekend. And It's a nice presentation at this point to sit at home and watch the game on TV.
It's very nice. I was out of town, so I taped the game. And when I got home, I called my mother and I said, listen, don't tell me what happened because I'm about to watch the game, because I had no idea who won or who lost. And she says, I won't tell you. She says, but the Ravens won. And I said, Ma, I just told you not to tell me. She said, well, I didn't tell you the score. So I'm watching the game, and we're down 34-17. I'm thinking they're going to have this epic comeback, and it didn't come to fruition. Mom had false information.
Mom led you down the wrong alley.
She did. When it was 41-17, then I knew for sure that she had misheard, and that's exactly what happened.
Man, this is hilarious because you're not the only one DVR in the game, right? Bill Cole, I had him on 2 weeks ago. We did a segment. You can check it out at Baltimore Positive, that he fell asleep on the second half of the Colts game, right, and DVR'd it and watched it Tuesday morning. And was shocked, right? The shock of all shocks. And you DVR things. I told the story. My mother, when my son was a little boy, I worked, sometimes I worked the night shift and I would go away on the weekend. And my mom would tape the games on the old VHS tape for me. And I would always say, don't tell me who won. And she could never not tell. She always would blow it. So I would always wind up with five innings of baseball that I already knew the outcome to, which sort of defeated the purpose in 1987, 1988. So I'm familiar with this, but I can't think of the last time I even attempted such a thing, to think that I could go to a concert, put my phone away, come out, come home at 11 o'clock and put a game on that I cared enough about to tape and delay. So, you mean the fact that you could get away with it without knowing, God bless you. That's all. I don't know how anybody could do that in the modern era.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks in a row too, because I did the same thing for the San Diego game. So I stayed off my phone. I turned off all my notifications. My emergency contacts are starting to get a hold of me, but I was able to go home and watch the game and fast forward.
You go like airplane mode, or like what do you do? Like, I'm trying to understand this.
I just turned off my notifications, so that I can't receive phone calls and I can't receive text messages unless I have the caller favored, which is my mother and a couple other close people in my life. But anybody else, I mean, they can wait, to be frank with you. And that gives me the time to sit there and watch the game in peace.
Well, and watching the game in peace at home is one thing for me without people yelling behind me. I'll tell you one thing that I have really soured on, and I've talked much about this, but in Section 513, when we had 25 years of the same people, and when the knee happened, it was really before the knee. It was probably after the second Super Bowl, people started to be like getting older, 20 years in, selling their PSLs while they had value in 14 and 15 and 16. But the things around me changed. And then it really changed at the end of Flacco. And I remember sitting up there at that Dolphins game when Flacco got that cheap shot, on the ground. And there were all drunk Dolphins fans behind me, 40 of them in my section, sitting behind me in aquamarine. And that sort of like jumped the shark for me. And from that moment on, the people around me have no longer, over the last 4 years, they've not been my people or tickets that I sell to you or friends or sponsors or the kind of outpouring of getting 50 requests for tickets, for a game when I may have had 10 tickets available, right? All of that's gone away. But when I've been in the section now, and obviously didn't go at all last year, right? Went to the first game this year, Kansas City game, the people around us, it's not the same kind of people talking about the same kind of football that were fans like you and I were in 1996, 97, 98, cheering on offense, just not knowing. I'm not offended. It's not the same experience without move those chains, move those chains, move those chains, defense, all the things that we did don't apply. And whoever's running the scoreboard over there now doesn't know from, they're waiting for the Ravens marching band to die off and have that go away. The things that are familiar are no longer familiar. Not bad or good, but I don't need Omar the Wire's whistle to get me excited about a football game. But I am enjoying the TV experience in a different kind of way than I ever thought I would. You never could have convinced me that I could have sat home with a back ailment and enjoyed a football game on TV, but I enjoyed it. Even though they lost, I enjoyed it.
Hey, Ness, what was the year that Kyle Bowler got hurt? It was a night game, Sunday to Monday night.
Colts game,
Manning and
he
the
got
Colts.
Cheered. Yep.
And all the drunks, not all the drunks, but a good portion of the drunks in the stadium cheered the injury. I mean, it's a fickle fan base, just like most fan bases. You have good people there and you have people that aren't so good. That's also that bad behavior is magnified by that alcohol. It's who they are.
I had, you know, the last 5 years, 10 years, I've seen far less violence in the stadium. You know what I mean? Or in your face, you suck, your mother, like all of that. There was a lot of that in the aughts, you know, having sat out there. The last 5 years, it doesn't feel like there's Ravens fans there that want to fight a Steelers fan over I'm from Baltimore and you're from Pittsburgh. Like, that's gone. It's, oh, I bet on your quarterback. He's on my fantasy team. You know what I mean? There's way more of that than I want to fight you because you're from Pittsburgh and I drank too much.
Now, there's more violence outside of the stadium these days than inside of the stadium, that's for sure. That's something that the city has to really clean up. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's another perception issue as well as to how the crowd is changing. Then I hope we get together and go to a game soon. I hope we're in the upper deck being cold, cheering. The Minnesota game will bring back the visions of the snow game, which is one of the great days of my young life. You know, it's always the one you don't script that you enjoy the most, right?
Absolutely. That was a fantastic game. And back in those days, I never missed the Sunday at the stadium. So looking forward to getting back there at some point.
Maybe we won't have 7 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes this time.
That'll be great.
Enjoy the bye week. Enjoy the red zone. Sell some cars. I will see you on Thursday. See you as well on Sunday morning. Dennis Colazzos. The Colazzo Show is the way to follow him out on Twitter. He's here on Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon, driving you home. And again, on Sunday morning, getting you ready for a week with the feet up on the couch. And my wife and I are working on a Halloween costume, Den, so I'm working on that. Dennis Colazzos. You can find him at The Colazzo Show as well as at BaltimorePositive.com.